Welcome into Bucks Insider, presented by Verizon. Casey Phillips here with senior writer and editor Scott Smith. And it's here. It's finally here. The draft week is upon us. We've been talking about it for months. You guys have done a bunch of mock drafts. We have all these ideas. It's just going to be such a fun week. We hope a lot of people are coming out to the draft party out here at Raymond James Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. For now, we are going to talk a little bit of draft later, but of course, we have to start with the most recent news of the Buccaneers, and it's just some of my favorite news in a while. And I feel like we've gotten to do this a few times this offseason.
It's the annual tradition.
Yeah.
Of re-signing Will Golston.
That's true. We need to make it a holiday. Yep, we re-signed him, one of the fan favorites, one of the team favorites. Tell me what comes to mind for you about not only this for him, the organization, but the defense as well.
Well, this will be, what, his 12th
year.
Very few players make it to a dozen years for a single team, and you and I both know he's been through different coaching staffs, different defenses, and he's always been willing to maybe change his frame a little bit. He gets a different role, but he always just gets the job done. He's been a great Buccaneer for a long time, and now there's a good chance that he'll be a Buccaneer for life, hopefully. And as it's noted here by somebody who covers the Buccaneers, he's now up there at, what is that, sixth place all-time in games played and most by a defensive lineman. So more than Warren Sapp or Leroy Salmon. That's saying something. If you can last that long, especially on one team, you're obviously a good player. But one of the interesting things about this is it's showing how there's a little provision in the most recent CBA how that's helping, and it's called the four-year qualifying offer. A player has to have been with the same team for four consecutive years without any break in there, at least, and obviously Will's been more than that. And then you can sign them and actually pay them $1.25 million more than what it actually counts against the cap. And the whole point of that, when they put that in, I think they actually put it in the 2011 CBA, I said most recent, but I think it was that one. The whole point was to try to help the veterans who weren't necessarily stars or even necessarily starters at this point, help them still have a spot in the league, because otherwise teams would be more likely to go, well, we could re-sign Will for $3 million, or we could sign a young player at the rookie minimum. Mm. And this allows you to sign that guy and pay him, but not have it hurt the cap as much.
Yeah, which is great. And I mean, he's someone who just knows the organization so much, is a locker room favorite, a fan favorite, a great guy, does so much in the community. I feel like that's been so awesome to watch how clearly the team has prioritized that this offseason, of guys that mean a lot to the city, to the organization, that do it right
Levante,
on and off the field. Yeah,
Mike,
you got Levante,
Evans.
You got Mike, you got Will. Like, it just feels like the trifecta of the long-tenured great guys on and off the field. So that's going to be really wonderful to see. And, I mean, you're right. He just gets it done, whatever you need him to do. And heck, I remember him getting that interception this last season.
In his 11th season,
his
first career
season,
interception.
He got one, so I love this. All right, and we have another signing as well. This is an offensive lineman, and of course, you know, the Bucks played a game in Germany. Germany is our market, so this is a really cool signing as well, that for all of our German fans out there, we've got one now. We have a German player, Lorenz Metz.
Yeah.
So tell us about this signing.
So he played at the University of Cincinnati and had a little brief period with the Chicago Bears last year. He didn't play, so he's from Germany, around Bavaria, I believe. He didn't play a down of American football until he was 18 years old. And a friend of his brought him out to practice for a pro team playing in Germany. And he was obviously good. He made the team. He played for a while. He got noticed by this organization that helps international prospects find places in U.S. colleges. And that's how he came over here. And so, you know, that's a really late introduction to football, but he played really, really well at Cincinnati. And, you know, it's interesting. He's a very big guy. You know, we'll see if he's got a shot.
Yeah, I think he's, what, like 6'9"?
Yes, jeez. I think 6'8 or 6'9". And he does not, because he was in the International Player Pathway Program, he does not count against the 90-man roster. So it's just an extra spot. Why not?
Yeah, that's great. And speaking of signings, we still have a couple big-name Bucks that have yet to be signed to long-term deals. That Antoine Winfield Jr., Tristan Wirfs, those are the next big things. As amazing as it has been to watch guys like we talked about, Mike and Levante and Will, get re-signed, those are kind of the, I'm sure, next things on the to-do list for Jason Light. And I know we got to hear from him recently. So in general, what do we feel like those deals are, where do they stand in terms of how soon they're going to get done?
Well, because of the franchise tag with Antoine and the fact that Tristan's going into his fifth year option year, both of those guys are under contract for 2024. And that's important. And that's why, while we had the rush of signings for Baker and Mike and Levante and all that, these can play out over a little bit of time. In fact, that's basically what the franchise tag is for, extending your exclusive negotiation mm-hmm. window. But they still don't necessarily, long-term deals don't have to get done.
Right.
But you really don't want to go into this year with both those guys playing on 1 year left on their contracts. So will they get signed? That's definitely the plan. And Jason Light did say he feels good about where they are with both of those processes ongoing. So and there was some reports that didn't come from the Bucks before that said the same thing. So it seems like there's plenty of optimism that these guys will get done. And you just don't want to let players this talented and this young out of the building. And if you look at this, Tristan was a first team AP All-Pro by his second season, which is as fast as anybody. Mike Alston and Levante did the same thing, and then Antoine by his fourth season, and he'd already been to a Pro Bowl before that. So these guys came in the league, well, you remember, it was the Super Bowl year, immediately were impact players and have gotten better and better. And Tristan has moved to left tackle, which is even more important. And again, these guys came into the league, were immediately good, have been good every year since, and you just want them to remain Buccaneers for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, obviously, Jason Light and his team did an incredible job evaluating those guys. And, I mean, they are incredible people, again, on and off the field, stepped in and were ready to go right away. We've gotten to hear from Jason Light recently because of leading up to the draft. He always does his pre-draft press conference, talks about their evaluation. Mm-hmm. And he said this a few different times, talking about there's, you know, of course, all the physical things. You watch the combine, you see the 40, you watch the tape. But there's all that other mental stuff, the on and off the field, and then even in a game, that I've heard him say before, things about how if they miss on someone, a lot of times it's more about from the neck up, is how he describes it. But that he feels like they've really done a good job of that. And I mean, I'm sure we see it from a bunch of these guys, but he talked a little bit about that this last week.
Well, we've talked before about how they have a picture that's a silhouette of a player, and it happens to be Levante David in the draft room that says, "I am that man." And they are trying to find people like him, players and people like him. And he thinks, Jason thinks he and his crew have gotten really gotten good at evaluating the whole person of a prospect. You can watch their 40s, you can watch the film, and you can see how fast they run, and those things are obviously important, but it's not going to come to anything if they're not the people that you want. And he said lots of times these days, if a guy gets in trouble in the league, a player gets in trouble, he'll go back and look at their evaluations, and lots of times, you know, like, sure enough, that was a guy we took off our board for character reasons. So they feel like they've done a good job of homing in on the players that really fit in terms of the whole person.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, we're going to have a whole Road to the Draft after this that we're going to be shooting as well. So it'll be the final one. Stay tuned for that. But for right now, just to talk about one other position, potentially, as we talk about evaluating and talent and what this team might need. In his pre-draft press conference, did he address some of the positions maybe of where they might still be looking, or, you know, positions of need versus kind of you already have somebody and something that might complement that?
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to talk about this position on Road to the Draft because we're going to talk about the first round, and it's running back. And there are not a lot of evaluators out there who think there's a running back who's going to go in the first round. But Jason has said before that he does feel like this draft has depth at the running back position. Mm-hmm. Maybe not top heavy first rounders, but good depth. So maybe the Bucks take one in the second, third round, and then you think, well, we have Rashad White. I mean, he's only going into his third year.
Yeah.
He's only going into his third year. He really emerged and got better and better last year. Great pass catcher, really started to come on as a runner as things went along. But then you look at all the snaps this guy took, because he was on the field. He's a three down back, obviously. I didn't know until I looked this up that Rashad actually led all running backs in the league in offensive snaps. Wow. Now, Christian McCaffrey might have beaten him if he'd played the 17th game, which he didn't. But still, that's saying a lot. I mean, that's what they call a bell cow back, right? Mm-hmm. And it worked fine, and it could work again. But as Jason put it, if he was saying this to Rashad White, he's like, "We love you. What if we had two of you?
Yeah.
You know, we could spell you a little bit."
You get some longevity. Kind of, you know, insulate against injury, all those things. And it's just a lot to ask of one player to take that many snaps and to be having to run and catch and block and all the things. That's going to take a toll over the course of the whole season.
Right.
So I'm sure, especially just for a little bit of increased freshness, whether it's the fourth quarter or the last quarter of the season, that might be handy.
Yeah, even in one game or the long view. So it's not out of the question that the Buccaneers would add to that position.
All right. Well, again, like we said, we have another Road to the Draft we're going to be shooting. So if you have more questions about that, this will be our final one. And again, we hope to see you at the draft party, or at least watching all of our draft coverage this week on Buccaneers.com.